I'll be reading 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Oh, lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
I suppose we've all heard statements like those or like these: if you will open your eyes, you can see it. Or he sure went into that with his eyes closed or with his eyes open. Everyone, I believe, will agree that keeping one's eyes open is important in many fields. In business, you may get a good opportunity or you may miss a good opportunity. In war, you may spot the enemy. In research, you may find the answer or the cure. There is a very interesting account in 2 Kings 6 that relates to the topic that we are considering. You heard several verses read from this text. I'm going to begin a little bit earlier here in 2 Kings chapter 6 at verse 8. Now, the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servant, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed what I'm calling a simple yet powerful prayer and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Well, the Arameans plot to capture the prophet Elisha. They discover that he is in Dothan, and so horses and chariots and a great army arrived there and surrounded the city. When the attendant of Elisha got up early in the morning and he saw the city surrounded, he cried, "My master, what shall we do?" The prophet answered him, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them," reminding us of Paul's statement in Romans 8, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Then Elisha prayed and asked God to open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord did just that, and he saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire all around the prophet Elisha. Well, what an appropriate prayer for all of us to pray, a simple yet powerful prayer. Lord, open our eyes. Why do we need to open our eyes? Well, for one thing, God desires it if we are to be pleasing to Him. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?" So Paul prays that the eyes of their heart be enlightened so that they will know the hope of his calling. They will know the riches of his inheritance for the saints. Why do we need to open our eyes? We must be able to see our real enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul is reminding us that our real enemy is Satan and all of his forces. And our eyes need to be open to his schemes and to his tactics. And one of his most effective tools is distraction, whether it's closing our eyes or causing us to focus on something that will pull us away from our commitment to Jesus Christ. What do we need to see when our eyes are open? Well, number one, we need to see God in nature. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Now, Psalm 19 takes up both general and special revelation. General revelation is the revelation of God in nature, while special revelation is the revelation of God in his word. And David begins Psalm 19 by telling us that the heavens are telling us of God's glory, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Paul echoed that in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So Paul writes about the evidence of God in nature or creation. I've mentioned Anthony Flew's book, There Is a God, and how the world's most notorious atheist changed his mind. And it is a fascinating story of one man's journey from atheism to theism. And Flew raises the question, why do I believe this, given that I expounded and defended atheism for more than a half century? The short answer, Flew said, is this. This is the world picture, as I see it, that has emerged from modern science. Science spotlights three dimensions of nature that point to God. The first is the fact that nature obeys laws. The second is the dimension of life, of intelligently organized and purpose-driven beings. And the third is the very existence of nature. Now, it took a while for his eyes to be open, but one of the things that led to the opening is the evidence of God that Flew ultimately could see in nature. Of all the debates Flew participated in, the best attended one was his debate with Thomas Warren in 1976 in Denton, Texas, drawing 5,000 to 7,000 people. Now, Brother Warren taught for a time at the Harding Graduate School. He was an author, an outstanding scholar, and debater in the Churches of Christ. And I believe that seeds were planted at that time that eventually led Flew to become a believer in God. Lord, open our eyes to see your wisdom and power and creativity in nature. Number two, we need to have our eyes open to God's providence. God working in our lives in a providential way. Two examples of God's providence can be seen in the lives of Joseph and Esther. You may recall that Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. He was brought to Egypt. While in Egypt, he was falsely accused. He spent 2 years in prison. But in time, he rose to a position of leadership in Egypt. And as the book of Genesis comes to a close, Joseph is reunited with his brothers. Now, initially, they are afraid that he might pay them back in full for the wrong that they had done to him. But here is Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The book of Esther tells the story of Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. Mordecai, Esther's cousin, learned of the plot, informed Esther that she needed to go into the king and implore his favor and plead with him for her people. Esther, who is now the queen, initially replied that any man or woman who comes to the king who is not summoned is subject to the death penalty. And she had not been summoned. And here is Mordecai's reply, Esther chapter 4, 13 and 14. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." God working in a providential way. Now I realize that we cannot always see that initially. And I always am careful that when people are going through very difficult, strenuous times, I got to be careful that I just don't throw out there Romans 8:28. Well, you know that God causes all things to work together for good. And sometimes that providence is a looking after we've gone through things, then we look back and we say, you know, God did have His hand in all of that. God did bring something positive out of that very difficult situation. But we can't always see that when we're going through that. But we do need to open our eyes and believe and accept the fact that God is working in our lives in a providential way. So God, open our eyes to see you at work in our lives in your wonderful providence. Then we need to open our eyes to see and understand God's Word. When we look into God's Word, we will see, number one, our opportunities. Jesus in John 4:35, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for the harvest." Or Paul in Colossians chapter 4, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. Let's pray that God will open up to us those doors of opportunity to share His Word. But we also need to see God's power. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God, open our eyes to see your great power that is available through the gospel of Christ. And then open our eyes to our resources. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. When we have Christ, we have it all. Reminded of that old story of the man and his son. The man was quite wealthy, had a great collection of art. And the son went off to war. The son died in war, but he was told that the son died giving his life, sacrificing his life to save some others. And after the war, one of the men that this boy saved came to meet the father, and he brought to him a painting that he had painted of his son. And he gave it to the father, and the father opened the painting, and he just was, oh, that is amazing. Now, this man was not a professional painter, but he had wanted to do that. And so he gave that to the father, so the father kept that painting of his son. But in time, the father died, and so they were going to have an auction, and they were going to auction everything, you know, in the house, because he had the Rembrandts, the Raphaels, he had some valuable paintings. But the father made it clear that the first painting to be auctioned was that one of his son. And so here the auctioneer, here's our first picture to be auctioned. And the crowd said, "Come on, bring out the good pictures. Bring out the great ones. That's not really a work of art. This is the first picture to be auctioned. What do I hear?" Finally, somebody in the back said, $10. Do I hear 20? $10 once, $10 twice, sold. So that man got the picture of the son for $10. Then the auctioneer got his gavel and said, "Auction over." Because the father said that whoever gets the son gets it all. And I can't help but thinking of Paul's, all spiritual blessings are in the Son of God. Whoever gets the Son gets it all. And so open our eyes to all of those wonderful resources that we have in Christ. I may have shared the William Tyndale story, but it's always one that has encouraged me and inspired me. And he was one of the early pioneers in translating the Bible into English in the 16th century. May 21st, 1535, he was kidnapped, imprisoned, where he remained until October the following year. In a letter he wrote from prison, he begged the authorities to permit him to have the Hebrew Bible, Hebrew grammar, and Hebrew dictionary so that he could pass his time in study. And so Tyndale desired to continue his work of translating the Old Testament. In August of 1536, Tyndale was found guilty of heresy and handed over to the secular powers for execution, which was carried out on October the 6th, 1536. As he was tied to the stake, with the fire consuming him, he cried out with fervent zeal and a loud voice, "Lord, open the King of England's eyes." Tyndale probably did not know that some months before his death, a version of the Bible in English, which drew largely upon his work, was circulating in his native land with King Henry's permission. In the sense which Tyndale included, the King of England's eyes were already opening when he voiced his dying prayer. "Lord, open our eyes to see you in nature, in your providence, and in your word. Help us to be open to opportunities, to your power, and your resources." Appreciate Eddie Ligas and those songs, "Lord, open our eyes that we may see," or "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." What about you? Can you see your need of salvation if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism? Can you see your need of rededication if you have not been faithful to him and feel the need to come back to the Lord? Lord, open our eyes so we can clearly see your will for our lives. And then may we have the commitment to do your will in all things. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Let's stand together and sing our song of encouragement.